We've arrived at 1 Kings 19 as we travel through the Bible together. Elijah fell into despair. His experience reminds us that victory can easily give way to discouragement. The way out of the spiral of despair is not to look inward. We need to look to God's provision and blessing, and we need to begin serving others. If you've ever been discouraged, today's lesson is for you. Stephen has called it The Pain of Unmet Expectations.
William Carey was a pioneering missionary to India from 1793 to 1834. He would later become known as the father of modern missions. Now, he seems an unlikely candidate to experience deep depression. Yet written in his diary are entries like, "I am very defective in all my duties. In prayer I wander, and I soon tire. My devotion languishes. I do not walk with God." Beloved, even the godliest people can become depressed and downhearted, and the prophet Elijah is no exception. Now, it all begins with the reaction of Queen Jezebel to Elijah's great victory on Mount Carmel. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 1 tell us, "Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, 'So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow.'" Now, you might not think that this would affect the courageous, prophet of God, but we're told here in verse 3, "Then he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life." Now, imagine, Elijah has just seen the fire of God fall from heaven. He's seen all the false prophets of Baal executed, defeated. Why is he going to run from one woman? Well, for starters, he's human, just like you and me. And every one of us can falter in our faith. But I personally think Elijah expected the news of fire falling from heaven, the news of God finally sending rain to bring this woman, Queen Jezebel, to repentance. I think he expected her to renounce Baal forever. She didn't want revival, though. She wants revenge. And in his great disappointment and shock, Elijah stumbles, he falters in his walk of faith, and he runs for his life. Beloved, I believe one of the biggest challenges in the Christian life is unmet expectations. It's so easy to become disheartened when people don't do what we expect them to do, or when God doesn't do what we expect him to do. Elijah eventually wanders into the wilderness, and he sits down under a tree. He's exhausted. He's frankly depressed. He says here in verse 4, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." In other words, that's it. I'm throwing in the towel. I quit. Well, how does the great physician deal with his despairing patient? Well, first of all, God doesn't show up and hit him over the head, with some kind of rebuke. He doesn't kick Elijah to the curb and, go find a better prophet. God actually gives Elijah time to sleep and rest. The Lord even sends an angel to bring Elijah food and water here in verses 5 through 8. The next thing God does is he leads him to Mount Horeb. That's another name for Mount Sinai, where God had given the law to Moses. And here in verse 9, the Lord speaks to Elijah like a wise and patient counselor, and he asks him a question. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" In other words, "Elijah, tell me how you're feeling. What's brought you here?" And Elijah just sort of pours out how he feels here in verse 10. I have been very zealous for the Lord, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only am left, and now they seek my life to take it away. Can't you just hear the volume of disappointment and despair and loneliness here? He's tried to honor God, but God doesn't bring the nation to repentance as he had expected. Elijah now says that he's all alone in the land. And on top of that, he now has a death sentence hanging over his head. Well, the Lord answers him now here in a very unique manner. In fact, God doesn't even start with words. First, the Lord sends a strong wind. Verse 11 tells us that it breaks apart some of the rocks on the mountain. And then the Lord sends an earthquake here. And then he sends a fire which breaks out on the mountain. And in each case, the Bible says that the Lord was not in those powerful demonstrations. In other words, there wasn't any personal message for Elijah from the Lord. However, here now in verse 12, the Lord speaks, but it's in a still, small voice. That means a whisper. And the Lord's in that. You see, the Lord is teaching Elijah that he doesn't always work, you know, through impressive miracles, you know, and loud noise. That's what Elijah was expecting from God. No, sometimes the Lord works in quiet ways to teach his children and to accomplish his plans. And now once again, here in verse 13, that quiet voice asks Elijah the second time, "What are you doing here, Elijah? What's brought you here?" The prophet answers with the same words, but I think the tone and the attitude are beginning to change. And we know that because the Lord now gives Elijah new ministry assignments. No more, you know, powerful demonstrations are needed because God's whisper has gotten through. Elijah is listening again. In verse 15, the Lord tells Elijah to go over and anoint Hazael as king of Syria. And here in verse 16, he's also commanded to anoint Jehu to be king over Israel. He's also to anoint Elisha to become his successor as the prophet of God. Now, we'll find out later that these three men are going to become God's instruments of judgment against the house of Ahab in the days ahead. Well, now here, the Lord corrects Elijah's feelings that he's, you know, the only one left who's following after God, the only one in the land. God tells him here in verse 18, "Oh no, there are 7,000 people in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal." Elijah thought he was the only one left, but there were thousands of people praying for God's name to be honored again in Israel. Now, the final verses here in chapter 19 introduce us to the prophet Elisha. At the moment, he's a farmer. He's out there plowing with a team of oxen. Elijah goes over and he throws his cloak upon him. This symbolizes God's call of Elisha to be his prophet. Elisha agrees to follow Elijah, but says here, well, first he wants to say goodbye to his parents. And Elijah replies in verse 20, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" Now that sounds kind of blunt. It sounds uncaring. But what Elijah means is, yes, go back home. And I want you to consider carefully what I've called you to do. And Elisha does just that. Verse 21 then tells us, he took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them. And then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. In other words, Elisha has just burned his bridges behind him. There's no turning back, no oxen to plow with, no more farming in his future. Now, I wonder what Elisha was expecting from the life of a prophet. Well, Elijah could teach him a lesson or two about unmet expectations when people, when even the Lord don't respond like you expected them to. I can just imagine their conversations together. Perhaps you're in a place right now that you didn't expect to be. You thought your commitment to God would bring you somewhere else, or maybe bring you something else, but it hasn't. And that's led you to discouragement and even despair, like Elijah. Let me encourage you to take a reality check. Realize first, like Elijah, that you're not alone. There are many others who struggle just like you do. But don't just realize that. Renew your commitment to serving the Lord by, well, serving other people, just as Elijah began to do. When you do that, your focus shifts away from yourself and onto others, and you'll regain a sense of joy as God uses you in the lives of others. Listen, others who right now might be thinking that they're the only ones with unmet expectations. I can just imagine how encouraging your conversations will be with them. Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
I hope you'll do what Stephen just encouraged. Realize that you're not alone, and renew your commitment to serving God by serving other people. This is The Wisdom Journey, and today's lesson is called The Pain of Unmet Expectations. There's a group of people that's making The Wisdom Journey possible through their support of our ministry. Please join them. Make a donation online at wisdomonline.org. Join us back here next time as we continue The Wisdom Journey.